I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. I love her far horizons, I love her jewel sea, her beauty and her terror, the wide brown land for me. That was a popular stanza excerpted from My Country, one of the best-known works of poetry in Australia, by Dorothea McKellar, which perfectly captures the natural beauty and the heart and spirit of Australia. Awe-inspiring, surreal, breathtaking. These are words that are used to describe the Australian land and its coastline. The Great Barrier Reef, located in the Coral Sea off the northeast coastline, is the largest natural feature on Earth, stretching more than 2,300 kilometres. The Australian outback, with its spectacular scenery and primal mythology, has long been revered as one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Heading further inland to Australia's red centre, Eyre's Rock or Uluru, a giant sandstone monolith, is a spectacular sight which changes colour according to the position of the sun. The massive rock domes date back 500 million years and are rich in indigenous artwork and lore. Australians have a warm, light-hearted and generous nature. Anywhere you go, you'll be greeted with a friendly, "G'day mate." It's comforting to know that you have 20 million friends who will always be there if needed. And now, please join us on Words of Wisdom today for an insightful lecture entitled How Suffering Can Lead Us to Happiness, delivered by Supreme Master Ching Hai in Sydney, Australia on March 16, 1993.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centres near you.
The kingdom of God is not something that is very far away in heaven. It is here right now. And we have them all within ourselves. We only have to unlock it and use it every day. And then we will see how better a person we become, how wise, how loving, and how satisfied a person we will become. Of course, the spiritual attainment is not measured in material sense or value, but it is just the frustrating inability of anyone to express a greater value of insight. We have to start somewhere. Because most of people will ask me, what is the use of practice meditation, of getting enlightenment at all? If we're not enlightened, is that all right or not? Yes, it is all right. It is very, very much all right. But look at our world. Is it absolutely all right? If the answer is no, that means we're lacking something despite all our material comfort or the scientific invention. Our world is probably all right in some part, perhaps in Australia, but not all right in many other parts. And why? It is because of lack of wisdom. It is because we cling to our small little knowledge and trying to do things to conquer the world with this little knowledge that we have. Should we have access to the whole wisdom, which is incredible, absolutely unimaginable, then we would do things in the better way. And the world would have become long ago a paradise. Perhaps even better than the life we have in Australia right now. And we see even then, in the most advanced country, technologically speaking, or perhaps materially speaking, there are still a lot of uncontrollable incidents which harm human lives. You see, when I was on the way to you in this theater, one of my fellow practitioners in Guanyin Method, she drove me in her car. And she was thanking me, I don't know why, for helping her to buy this car in just 5 minutes, whereby she searched about half a year before and couldn't buy it. Every time someone, just somebody took it away. But this time she succeeded. And she thought because she prayed to me, I said, well, it is all your spiritual merit. It had nothing to do with me, but she couldn't believe it. It's all right. I read that it is. But I said, why did you have to buy a new car? She said, because the car was stolen. I said, what? In Australia? You had somebody stole your car? I can't believe it. I thought this economic situation in Australia is very stable. I was so shocked to hear that. But she said, it's true. They steal it sometimes. All right. Why do people steal? Even in such a very stable country, where even the poor got looked after. No one going to be starved on the street, really, in Australia, right? You have social security benefit, right, for the non-employee, is that right? Yeah, should be, yes. In many countries like that, in England, France, or Germany also, you get social security money when you are temporarily out of work or without any means to support yourself while you're sick or something. It's very secured. But why do people steal, I think, steal cars and things like that? It is not only because of the car itself. It was an old car anyhow. It was an old car only. It wasn't the car. It wasn't the desire to steal that is to blame. It was the dissatisfaction in the heart of any human who does that thing. Because he's not contented to accept the way his life is or what God has meant to give him. Dissatisfaction. Why dissatisfaction? Because an enlightened mind is a very unsatisfying mind. Even if that person were given a better car, he might not stay there. He might want another car, or next, an aeroplane. It is because we are unsatisfied with ourselves. We do not know the source of all richness, of all power. So we want this and that and others, even when it's not very necessary. Why we want these things? It is because we have been in glory, in freedom, in richness before in heaven, before we descended into this lowly stage of thinking that we are just a human being, that we have no power, that we don't know anything, that it is very difficult to attain heaven. But I can assure you that even then, even now, we still can attain heaven, and very quickly, fast, and right here, right where we live. We don't need to go to Himalaya, even though I did. But it was not necessary for anyone to do that. I was probably destined to do so. You see, many people have different ideas about asceticism. They think if we forsake the whole world and family and go into a cave and meditate in the Himalaya, then they will attain freedom. It's not true. It's not true. I did that just because God wanted me to do that. So that I can tell you that it's not necessary to do that. Otherwise, you would not believe me. Probably you say, oh, you can't do it yourself. You're afraid of the Himalaya cold, therefore you tell us not to go because you yourself can't do it. You don't have any experience. But I had this experience in order to tell you that it was absolutely not necessary. No one needs to do anything at all. We can just stay right where we are and do what we do now and attain our greatness inside. And then we will still live on earth, but we live in heaven at the same time. We discharge our social responsibilities, but we have no desire for the reward. And we have no attachment to the possession that we have or not have. We will have no desire for the neighbor's things, or wives or husbands. Then actually, the so-called precepts will just become very natural way of life for us, and it's not a precept anymore. These precepts are only guidelines while we were still unable to control our mind. But once we are in control of our mind, action and speech, effortlessly, then these precepts are just child play. And we don't keep the precepts anymore because there's no necessity to keep them. We don't do anything that is not precepted anyhow. And even then, if we do, we know why. And we do not torment ourselves with the self-inflict guilt that was not necessary in that place, in that instant. But before, we can do everything effortlessly. We must attain the state of understanding, of knowing the will of God, knowing the plan of the universe, that at which moment we should do what and why. And we have no resistance from within or without to accept life the way it is, and also to go on with our business without heavy burden, without feeling exhausted from just a few hours of work. And then, even then, if we work a few hours a day, the effectiveness would be much more than before. We put a lot of effort in and we couldn't do much. Most of the masters after enlightenment do not advocate people to leave their families, their friends, their business, to go into solitude, or to become a monk and all that. It is because they have seen through that these outer things will not help us to attain the inner tranquility of mind. It is only we truly renounce from within that we truly have an everlasting desireless state. If we force ourselves too early to leave our family ties and responsibility, just like a fruit which is not yet ripened, and we forcefully take it from the tree, then it's useless. We couldn't eat it, and the fruit will not be able to last very long either. It's neither good for the fruit nor good for us. Most of our fellow practitioners in the Kuan Yin method, means the method of contacting the true heavenly light and sound, which represents our true supreme wisdom within. They are so-called laymen, laypersons. They were no monks and nuns. But their levels of attainment is incredible. And it is difficult to measure their attainment unless you talk to them or see their way of life and their enlightenment in action. Perhaps how they handle difficult situation, perhaps how they tend to their family and helping social mission at the same time, perhaps in how they deal with aggressive people lovingly, perhaps in how they discharge their duties in such a quick, witty and effective way. Perhaps in how they look so contented and peaceful in any situation that would blow other people's temperament apart. Perhaps in these ways we may be able to perceive somewhat the difference between these practitioners and the ordinary person. Otherwise, from the outlook, it's very difficult to know. Perhaps we have read somewhere in those spiritual novels that after you've practiced some kind of meditation a long time, you became very youthful, forever young, and never die, and never sick, beautiful, more beautiful than before, etc. These probably are true in some degree, but it doesn't happen to all spiritual practitioners, because they don't aim at this material manifestation of wisdom. Perhaps it helps you to be healthier because you are more carefree within your heart and you are more surrender to the will of the universe rather than taking the whole world upon your shoulder and can't do nothing about it. Just go around worrying all day and age yourself quickly. Yeah. Therefore, perhaps in this sense, the practitioners look younger, more relaxed, and healthy, and loving, and happy. But I don't think we should expect a practitioner of 80 years old turn into 18, for example, just because he practiced a heavenly presence. But the people who eat vegetarian, who practice the Guanyin method, do truly look better. Some look even immediately better after the initiation, that even I myself was sometimes very surprised. I am not surprised in the sense that I don't expect this to happen, but I'm surprised that that person looks so different, that much more different than expected, and so quickly. All this because our wisdom, our supreme power, is starting to work and to correct whatever the misconstruction within our body, within our mental, or within our speech. Therefore, our appearance truly do look different, but it is not very important. All these fairy tales truly does exist. For example, before we hear that certain person in his dream or in his difficulty, a fairy goddess or mother guardian will come and help him out and things like that. All these things happen right now in this century even. And all the spiritual healing powers and all kind of incredible supernatural power do truly exist if we practice the kingdom of God, the supreme wisdom, which is our birthright and is always there for us to achieve. If we do not practice this, if we do not find a way to recognize our greatest inheritance, no one will say anything to us. Absolutely no one has the right to say anything. It's only us, we, who suffer the loss. That we have a great treasure and we don't use it. And we suffer so much. Or we have some happiness, but only very partial, very short-lived. And sometimes it is the cause of the next sorrow of tomorrow. Therefore the choice is for us to wake up into our glory or to sleep in our darkness and denying ourselves all the things that other people every day experience, which is good, which is excellent, which is incredible, which is beneficial for themselves, for their environment, for their immediate circles, and for the world at large. If we do not get enlightenment, we do not know our supreme power, we deny ourselves the greatest privilege that even angels envy. Even small gods in lower heavenly regions are jealous of. And that is a pity. We are the only one to be blamed. And so, since I am here already, due to my fellow practitioners' kindness and invitation, I am willing to share with you the way to regain your greatness, to experience your true self, to have all your wishes fulfilled, and to live a more worthy life, even though we all will die, so-called die later, or our body will decay. But at least while we are on this earth, we will live a heroic life, a strong, spiritual, and we are the tower for other people to look up and to inspire other people to rely upon their own strength, which is inside, which is incredible, which I have no true words to explain. I thank you for your attention, and maybe if you like to tell me something or ask some question, you're welcome. You can be enlightened with eating meat as well. But the point is to keep it, to keep the enlightenment state, and to be faster, you better be vegetarian. Should you attain the hay of Jesus' enlightenment, you may eat anything you wish. But we are students yet. I have to set example for my students. When you were a student in the college, you exclude yourself many things because you wanted to concentrate on your study. You exclude nice clothes and even girlfriends sometimes, even postpone your marriage just because you want to have a high grade in the college and get your PhD fastly without so much burden in between time. But once you become a professor, it could be possible that you still wear shabby clothes, but it is allowed for you if you wish. You can wear fancy clothes, marry, have many children, which you excluded yourself before. But anyhow, my brother, it is not desirable to eat other beings' flesh. Don't you think so? Why is it desirable to kill for your body? You see, I do not condemn people who eat meat. The rules outside are only the so-called secret method for people to want to get enlightenment quickly and to preserve it. And you may or may not follow it as your own free will. We don't condemn people who eat meat. Just if you want to follow this path, it is best for you to follow the completely and wholeheartedly if you are to expect the best result of it.
Some of the benefits of a vegetarian diet: lowers blood pressure, lowers cholesterol levels, reduces type 2 diabetes, prevents stroke conditions, reverses atherosclerosis, reduces heart disease risk 50%, reduces heart surgery risk 80%, prevents many forms of cancer. Stronger immune system, increases life expectancy up to 15 years. Higher IQ, saves 70% of a total cost of $40 trillion for reducing global warming. Uses 4.5 times less land to grow food. Conserves up to 70% clean water. Saves 80% of the cleared Amazonian rainforest from animal grazing. A solution for world hunger. Free up 3.4 billion hectares of land. Free up 760 million tons of grain every year, or half the world's grain supply. Consumes one-third fossil fuels of those used for meat production. Reduces pollution from untreated animal waste. Maintains cleaner air. Saves 4.5 tons of emissions per U.S. household per year. Stop 80% of global warming. Plus more. Save your life. Be veg. Go green.
Are there more than one stage of enlightenment?
Yes, yes. More, yes.
How does one know he or she has been enlightened?
Oh, how does one not know? If you graduate from college, how do you know? Do you know it? Yes, yes.
When one is enlightened, can there be circumstances that would lead to non-enlightenment?
No. When you've grown up. You can grow back to the infant state. You might stop or retard, but you will not grow back to the infant hate again.
Can you tell us of love?
No. I can't. Why? Because these things are not to be told in language. Suppose you love your wife. How can you describe that love? You can only know it between each other. To the outsider, it means nothing. Doesn't matter how you explain it.
With respect, we would like you to explain about reincarnation.
Reincarnation is supposed to be for some so-called non-enlightened state of mind, which seek to fulfill the pleasures, the desires which that person has not completely fulfilled during his stage of certain kind of being. For example, if we are so much in love with someone in this lifetime, and then for some reason the love is not fulfilled, are not substituted in another way, then after both person die, he'll probably be reincarnated again and search for that old love which you have cared so much about.
I have no question, but I only ask that you take my love.
Thank you.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
We thank you for your kind company for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please join us again Friday for the conclusion of How Suffering Can Lead Us to Happiness. And now, please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Models of Success, right after Noteworthy News. May your spirit be immersed in God's ocean of unconditional love.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.